This podcast discusses topics involving human death. Listener discretion is advised. My name is Ivy, and welcome to the Taphophile Diaries. A taphophile, also sometimes called a tombstone tourist, is defined as an individual who has a passion for and enjoyment of cemeteries, epitaphs, gravestone rubbing, photography, art, history of deaths, and more. So if this sounds like you, you might just be a taphophile. Episode 9, Cheeseman Park. Located at 8th Avenue and William Street in Denver, Colorado, is Cheeseman Park, described as, and I quote, "The 80-acre park is centered around a beautiful grassy lawn and overlooked by the neoclassic marble Cheeseman Memorial." People also refer to it as the perfect peaceful retreat in urban Denver, and people host events like weddings here. But it is also frequently regarded as being one of Denver's most haunted locations. Before I get more into the paranormal side of things, I do want to talk about how this park came to be, which will make it pretty obvious as to why it's so haunted today. As discussed in the previous episode, cemeteries used to also function as parks. And that is exactly what the grounds of Cheeseman Park used to be, a cemetery. The cemetery was established in 1858 and was known as Mount Prospect, and it was intended to be a nice, respectful cemetery full of Denver's more wealthy, influential citizens, but this didn't exactly happen. Most of the upper crust of Denver's society already had established family plots in other cemeteries, so many of those that were buried here at Mount Prospect were the poor, criminals, or people who died of disease, or those who were nameless or had no family to contact. There was also some alleged criminal behavior at Mount Prospect at the hands of the undertaker E.P. McGovern, who would hack the bodies of adults into multiple pieces so he could then fit them into smaller child-sized coffins to save on space in the cemetery, and thus make more money by having room for more burials. On March 19, 1893, the Denver Republican newspaper ran a story about McGovern with a headline that read, "The Work of Ghouls." And this article stated, and I quote, "The line of desecrated graves at the southern boundary of the cemetery sickened and horrified everybody by the appearance they presented. Around their edges were piled broken coffins, tattered shrouds, and fragments of clothing that had been torn from the dead bodies. All were trampled into the ground by the footsteps of the gravediggers like rejected junk." By the 1900s, the cemetery was no longer in use and the grounds of Mount Prospect fell into disrepair. It was unkempt and a lot of locals considered it to be an eyesore. So, real estate developers began to lobby for the cemetery to be done away with and have the area turned into a park. I find it interesting that they had the money and means to completely renovate the grounds, as opposed to using those same funds to clean up and maintain the cemetery, which could then still be treated as a park, but I digress. The senator of the time, Senator Teller, convinced Congress to let the city vacate Mount Prospect and rename it as Congress Park in honor of their permission being given for this project. The park would be renamed again later on after Walter Cheeseman, a Denver pioneer whose family donated funds to have the large pavilion built on the park grounds that still stands there today. But let's get back to the drama that was turning the cemetery into a park, which was no easy feat. Families who had loved ones buried there were given 90 days to exhume and relocate the remains of their loved ones. But this was problematic because a lot of people couldn't afford to do this. And a lot of folks that were buried there didn't have any known family left to contact, or they were unknown. To solve this hiccup in their plans on turning the cemetery into a park, they hired undertakers to remove the rest of their remains. But they didn't remove them all. They weren't even close to having removed all of them. An investigation by CNN found that upwards of 2,000 bodies might still remain buried underneath Cheeseman Park to this very day. An article from the Gazette also noted that it wasn't uncommon for landscapers or people working for the park to uncover human bones, and sometimes entire human skeletal remains. The Denver Post reported that as recently as 2008, workers in the nearby Denver Botanic Gardens, which is land that also used to belong to Mount Prospect, they discovered two rows of coffins while doing work on the garden grounds. And just 2 years later, in 2010, four preserved skeletons were uncovered while they were doing work on the irrigation system. So this is something that still actively happens. And for anyone who believes in the paranormal, this is all a recipe for ghostly happenings. According to the group Denver Terrors, common reported paranormal activity here includes shadowy figures and phantom voices and screams, all experienced by both visitors and those who live in the apartments surrounding the park. This is Denver. I'd wager that some of this is just from the living and not the dead, but I can definitely see why a place such as this might house some upset or restless spirits. Paranormal enthusiasts will especially flock here around October, with the name Cheeseman Park frequently popping up around Halloween as one of Denver's most haunted places to visit. Fans of the movie Poltergeist can also be found with this location on their own bucket lists, as many people believe that it may have inspired the plot of the movie. If you've never seen Poltergeist, it came out in 1982, and it features the story of a family who moved into a new home, which is quickly filled with terrifying paranormal activity. Slight spoiler alert, the movie ends with heavy rains and mud surrounding the house as human bones begin to surface, which is very reminiscent of the stories of human bones which continue to wash up in Cheeseman Park after a heavy rain. The park having inspired the movie has never been officially confirmed to my knowledge, but regardless, it is still a must-see for anyone with an interest in cemeteries and the paranormal. And it did go on to inspire other works, such as the movie The Changeling, whose creator used to live in a haunted house near Cheeseman Park in the 1960s. So, with all this in mind, I want to ask, would you visit Cheeseman Park? Perhaps have a picnic of your own, knowing that there may be unknown human remains below. On a slightly more serious note, if you do visit Cheeseman Park or any former site of a cemetery or even an active cemetery and ever come across what looks like human bones, leave them alone, do not touch them, and call your local authorities and report it. And also report it to the cemetery themselves or, in this case, Cheeseman Park via their contact links on their website. Although it's likely just old human remains from past burials, there's always the slight possibility that someone used those same grounds for more nefarious reasons. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you join me next time on the Taphophile Diaries. You can keep up with me on Instagram at the Taphophile Diaries, and I even have a Facebook page for random cemetery memes and other related nonsense. And please, if you enjoyed this episode and haven't already done so, leave a rating or review and subscribe if possible. That is the easiest way to show support for your favorite podcast, and it helps others like you discover the Taphophile Diaries. All sources used for this episode are linked below. This podcast is researched, hosted by, and produced by me, Ivy Boyd. Music is by Dimitri Terrace from Pixabay.